Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Millionaire Club member Randy Moore from Oklahoma, and I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Monday, March 5th, 2018, More Success 10 Legal Shield Business Solution Conference Call. We host this specialty call the first Monday of every month, and it's designed to help our More Success Team associates that are interested in the B2B marketplace. I do want to remind everyone that next week in Oklahoma City is our Legal Shield International Convention. If you haven't yet registered for our More Success Team breakout session, all you need to do is go to moresuccessteam.com and get registered right away. Our breakout will be held at the Cox Convention Center. It'll be in rooms 4 and 5, and it'll be on Sunday morning, March the 18th, from 9 to 1. There's going to be tons of recognition because we're going to be giving that out throughout the program, and, of course, training will be outstanding. So you definitely don't want to miss that. But it's my honor to introduce tonight's special guest speaker. Mike went full-time in 2002 with Legal Shield when he was 23 years old. By the second month in the business, he had hit the executive director level. He and his beautiful wife, Allie, learned the importance of setting goals, and they began to stretch their dreams and expectations. In their second year in the business, they earned the $100,000 ring. Mike found out when you believe in something strongly enough, nothing or no one can keep that from becoming a reality in your life. As they found, that is very true for them today. They have five children and are blessed to have the time freedom to enjoy a great lifestyle together. They're $200,000 ring earners, 7,000 Protection Achievement Award winners, and Millionaire Club members. Mr. Mike Riches from the state of Texas, welcome to the call, sir.
Randy, thank you very, very much, and welcome to everybody who is joining this call. It's always fun to hear during roll call kind of folks calling in from all over the country, and, you know, what an honor to be here on the call with you guys tonight. And as Randy mentioned during the roll call, it's an exciting time because we're going to get to see each other in just over a week from now, and I'm certainly looking forward to getting into Oklahoma myself. For those of you working in the B2B side of our business, I hope that you're planning on coming in a couple days early, because that Wednesday there's going to be a training. It's a B2B. It's really a employee benefits marketing system training, and I'm really excited to be a part of that. I was on a planning call earlier today for that particular training, and as they went through the agenda and announced, you know, all the speakers that we're going to be sharing from the stage that on that Wednesday training, it's just going to be a phenomenal event. And so hopefully you're planning on being there, and maybe if not too far away, that even if you aren't planning, you could change your plans and be there, because I think it's going to be a phenomenal opportunity to learn from some of the best minds in our business. At least it was an honor for me to be on that planning call with so many incredible people. It is an absolute privilege to be able to visit with you guys tonight on this call, and of course I would be absolutely remiss to not express my love and gratitude for the Moore family. And I was asked to share on this call a couple of months ago, and of course none of us knew at that time that we would lose such a giant and a hero and an incredible man as Mr. Kenneth Moore. And our hearts have been aching for all of his great family, which includes his organization, his team, his Legal Shield family, and the tens and tens and hundreds of thousands of lives who have been impacted for good by this great man. And I would be absolutely remiss not to express my heartfelt appreciation for Mr. Moore and what he meant to me and my family, and really the entire Moore family, and what they stand for. It has always been an honor to be counted as friends of such incredible people. And we love you guys, and we want you to know that our thoughts and prayers have been with you, and if there's any consolation, to me it is knowing that a man like Ken Moore, it's cliche to say that he's in a better place, but it may be cliche, but it's the truth. And the reality is he's a believer, and I believe that he's engaged in a much bigger work than even he was here on the earth. And I know the Moores share that sentiment as well. And we love this family. This is as close to family as someone who may not have the same blood is going to get. That's the way we feel about the Moores. And so again, I would be remiss not to express my love and appreciation for Ken and for this entire incredible family. There's no easy transition from talking about something so solemn and something that I feel so strongly about to training. But we'll transition anyway, and I wanted to just share a few thoughts with you. In fact, we had our team call this morning, and as it happened, I get to train on that call maybe once or twice every 6 months. We do that schedule out, and this morning was the morning that I had to train on that call too. So I was putting together some thoughts, and it worked out because that was our group call too. So it was similar topics. And as I was preparing for that and preparing for this training here tonight, I was thinking about, you know, our system and how we do what we do. When we take, you know, something that Legal Shield's been doing for 40 plus years, we take this incredible product, and you can throw the identity theft on there as well, something that we've been doing for the last almost 15 years now. And when we take it into companies, we offer this as an employee benefit. You know, we've got a system figured out there. It's one of the things that is so attractive when we recruit to this market. When we meet professionals who, you know, may or have different ideas about, you know, some of the aspects of our business, but they get excited about the opportunity to go out and make a really good living and control their time and not be limited by territories and not be limited by ceilings as far as income and growth go and opportunities go. And they recognize this Legal Shield business as an incredible and a very professional opportunity for them. And one of the things, again, that's very attractive to them is that there's a system that's been figured out. In other words, they don't have to start from scratch. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. They don't have to go out and figure out anything. What they've got to do when they got started, which is exactly what I did when I got started, they've got to follow the system. Now, they've got to be coachable and humble and teachable, and that's not always easy. You know, that was maybe easier for me because I was 22, 23 years old. So, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of experience. I had never really done any kind of outside sales or anything like that. So, you know, I didn't come to the table with a lot of preconceived notions or ideas about how this ought to work. I was, in fact, very naive, and it was one of the greatest blessings that I had in getting started was that when my brother said, and he's the one that sponsored me and obviously recruited me and helped me get started, and I appreciated his leadership, but when he said, you know, listen, this is what you need to do, A, B, C, D, I just went out and did A, B, C, and D. I mean, I didn't really deviate. I look back, there's a lot of stuff I messed up. But the one thing that I did well is I just followed the system. And if you're just getting started, or if you're looking at this side of the business as something that you want to spend a little bit of your time in, then I would just encourage you to do the same. Maybe act for a little while like you're a 22-year-old naive kid, and forget what you've learned in the past. Take all those brilliant ideas and don't throw them away, but just shelve them for a little bit. Just put them on the shelf for a little bit and just listen. You're so blessed with incredible, dynamic, powerful, experienced leadership in this organization. So how someone could listen to the Moore team leadership and then go out and try to do it differently, why someone would ever want to do that is beyond me. And I say that fully realizing that many don't. Many don't have that issue. Many just follow the system. In fact, I'd say even the majority of people just get in and they recognize, hey, I'm going to follow the system, and they do it and they start seeing results and it works very well for them. But there are a few that for whatever reason have to maybe unlearn a few things before they can learn a few things. And I guess my challenge to you is, you know, get that rock out of your way. Get that, I can't think of the word, but that thing that's standing in your way, obstacle, that's the word. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a long day, right? Get that obstacle out of your way fast and start following the system. Be coachable, be teachable, and start following the system because the system works. That said, I want to really break this down a little bit tonight because as I look at people in my team that they commit to doing that, they commit to following the system. So, you know, with the five-step system that we teach in group sales, you've got a prospect, you've got to follow up, you've got to do a decision maker meeting. When you're in that DM meeting, you're trying to get to an enrollment where you can make a presentation to the employees. And then, of course, account management is that fifth step, retention, servicing groups, that whole area, which is so important. And I appreciate now, the older I get, the more residuals I get, the more I appreciate that account management side of our business. But as I look at that system, as I watch people in my organization, I've really kind of narrowed it down to two areas where I see people struggle. And when I say struggle, these are the two areas where I think, for lack of a better phrase, we lose most people. And let me just kind of share with you my observation. That doesn't mean that it's the only observation out there, the only opinion, but I'll just share with you what I've seen over the last 16 years of being in this business myself. And that is that the two areas where people tend to have the hardest time, the first is in prospecting. And it's not so much that they don't know how to do it as they just don't do it. That's one that, because listen, I've seen people that have zero phone skills. They've got a horrible phone voice. I mean, I'm talking in, like, bad presence, not just not good, but bad presence on the phone. And I've seen them make call after call after call and do enough volume that they are able to make appointments on the phone or get out in person enough times and walk their community and get in front of enough businesses that they're able to start setting some appointments. So, you know, in other words, they make up in activity what they lack in skill. And I've seen that on the prospecting side time after time after time after time. So even though that's an area where I think we lose some people, and you know, it's really the first step, but it's the first thing that you've got to do where you're going to face a little bit of rejection. You know, I tell my team, make a list of people that you know, and you know, who do you know who owns a business? Who do you know that works for a company? Who do you know that works in HR? And I get them starting to think of their warm market. Well, that's easy. Because there's no rejection in putting a name on a piece of paper. There's no rejection in going through the group school and learning and, you know, reviewing the manual. But when you start picking up that phone, when you start calling those prospects to start setting appointments, and when you start going into those companies to see if you can walk your community and meet a few people, well, then there's some rejection there. You're going to get some people to tell you no. You're going to get some people that say they're not interested for whatever reason. And because of that, and I don't know if it's just the fear of rejection or maybe the fear of success or maybe a little bit of both or maybe that and a lot of other things, but I remember Mr. Stonecipher used to say that phone will weigh 1,000 pounds and people will find every excuse in the book not to pick up the phone and start making calls. And so we lose people on that prospecting front. And the best advice I could give you right now on that is to make up your mind that you're going to do something that you can see yourself doing. People ask me, you know, what's better, prospecting in person or prospecting over the phone? What's better, prospecting your warm market or prospecting cold market? You know, the truth is, whatever you're going to do, that's what you ought to go do. That's my opinion. I mean, I honestly feel like your warm market's much better, but if you're going to sit there and stare at the phone all day and never pick up the phone and call your warm market, but you're going to pick up the phone 50 times a day and call your cold market, do that. I mean, whatever you're going to feel more comfortable doing or most comfortable doing, do that and do a lot of it, and you're going to start getting some results. Well, that's my advice on that first area. The second area, though, that I see people, and they are doing activity, and yet I see this as a challenge. And it's a skill that really has to be developed. Just like any other skill in any other line of work, you've got to develop a skill. And on the group side of our business, guys, listen, this is not, this is a very skill-based side of our business. I mean, it's something that you and I have to be, we have to get good. And that doesn't mean that we're going to be good overnight. But just like, you know, people go to school for years, some people that make the incomes that some of our group producers are making, they were in school for a dozen years to learn a certain skill set so they could get out and be successful in that particular area. Well, good news is, you know, you and I don't have to go to school for a dozen years, but we do have to be willing to learn and develop and grow and learn a skill set. And the area where I see people meet a challenge is when they are meeting with a decision maker, getting an enrollment set up with the employees. I call that closing the group or closing the deal. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes here about the art of closing the deal. And again, it is a skill. This is something that you've got to learn how to do. I don't know why this area is tough, and I don't know why people struggle here necessarily. I do think that some of it is, you know, we think sometimes that we're not asking the decision maker that we're meeting with, whether it's an HR person or an owner of a company. We think that we're not asking them to do a whole lot, but the reality is we are. We're asking them, even though we're not asking them in most cases to pay for these plans or to cover any of the direct costs for these plans, we are asking them for something that's frankly more valuable than money, and that's time. We're asking for their time to prepare for our enrollment, to get ready, to get their employees together. We're asking for their employees' time to meet with us. If we're setting it up on a payroll deduction, they're going to have to spend time administering the benefit, administering these plans. And even though it's you know, it's low fuss, I mean, the reality is, though, we're still asking them for their time. And in another sense, we're asking them in some cases, or in some sense, to risk their reputation. I mean, you've got to put yourself in their shoes. What if this doesn't go well? What if we go in there and no one signs up? Who's going to look bad? And the answer is them. We're out of there. They got to go to work there every day after that. And if it was a negative experience, or if we went in and put too much pressure on the employees or whatever, I mean, if this goes awry in any one of many different ways, it's their reputation that's on the line. So even though we're not asking them to cut us a check every month, at least a direct cost check, we are asking them to do something that is not always comfortable to do. And because of that, it takes, again, some skill to be able to get a decision maker to say, yes, I want you to come meet with my employees. You might just jot this down if you're taking notes. What makes a great DM meeting? What makes a great DM meeting? And let me just give you my opinion. Getting a decision maker interested does not make a great DM meeting, okay? It's got to be more than that. I've done a lot of DM meetings in 16 years. I was thinking about it this morning. I don't even know how many. I mean, I lost count a long, long, long time ago. I would say hundreds, maybe in the thousands. I've met with a ton of companies, both, you know, my own companies, my own prospects, and then, you know, as I've built a team going out and field training and working with my team. I mean, I've met with a lot of decision makers, but I can probably count on one or two hands. Probably one, but maybe two. How many times I've met with a decision maker where they were not interested? How many times I sat down, went through Legal Shield, went through ID Shield, and the decision maker said, "Nah, I don't think this is something we'd be interested in." I mean, I'm talking one hand most likely. It might go on to two hands, but out of hundreds or thousands, the reality is they're almost always interested. So getting them interested does not make a great DM meeting. Let me answer the question. In my opinion, what makes a great DM meeting is when you set an enrollment. So when my team calls me and says, "Man, I just had a great DM meeting," my first question, great, when's the enrollment? Because that's what makes a great DM meeting. Not they were asking the right questions, they're giving all the buying signals. I mean, that's all great, that's wonderful. But a great DM meeting, it can be a good DM meeting, but a great DM meeting is when you get an enrollment. Okay, well, that being said, how do you do that? Let me give you some tips maybe and how you get them from interested to actually scheduling an enrollment. And I think the first principle here, people are doing business with you. And the sooner that we recognize that, the sooner we're going to have the levels of success that I believe that we deserve to have. Because there are top producers that are going to go take the same product that you have. They're going to have the same compensation plan, the same incentives. They're going to take the same coverage in the same geographic markets as you and I have this week, and they're going to go open groups. So you got to get rid of all these excuses as to why, you know, if you've gone out there and you've been meeting with decision makers and you haven't been getting the results that you're looking for, don't blame your circumstances. Don't blame, you know, the area that you live in, or don't blame, you know, the product or the law firm or any of that. Listen, there are people taking the exact same thing and they're opening groups today, right now. They met with companies today and got an authorization card signed or set up an enrollment today. Okay, so the real question mark is you. And that, listen, that's hard to hear sometimes, but I didn't get on this call to sugarcoat this tonight. I got on here to tell you the truth, and that's the truth. I mean, the question mark is you. And that has to do with your professionalism, your dress, the materials that you use, the language that you use. It has to do with the genuine care and concern that you can show for that decision maker, their business, their employees. It has to do with your ability to build a relationship of trust. I mean, you have to be trustworthy. You have to be somebody that they look at and trust that you're going to go in and represent this in the right way. Again, it's their reputation that's on the line. So you've got to be someone that's believable. You've got to be someone that they like and that they want to do business with. And even when all of that stuff is in place, you're still not done. That's not the whole skill. But that's the first key of it. And that's why I love our business, that we talk about things like personal development. I'm so grateful that my brother told me, one of the first things he told me to do, read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And then you know what he said? When you're done reading it, read it again. Because it's such a great book. And it's not the only great book out there, but it's a great book that taught me that when I was sitting down and having a conversation with someone, they did not want to hear about me. They didn't want to hear my story. They didn't want to hear about my kids. They didn't want to hear about my college team that I love. They didn't want to hear about my hobbies or my likes or dislikes. They want to talk about themselves. And the better listener that I can be, the better conversationalist they're going to see. And so I'm grateful for personal development. I'm grateful that where I was at 22 years old wasn't where I had to stay. And where you are at 22 or 32 or 42 or 52 or whatever two you are, whatever age you are, whatever experience you have, let's just make a deal that you won't be there next week, that you won't be there next month, that in a year from now, you will be perceivably better than you are today. And that, I don't care how good you are, because some of you are really, really good. But if you and I are not trying to become perceivably better over a year's time, we're missing the real advantage of this business, in my opinion. So people are doing business with you. Let me just share with you another thought. Two things that I think you need to determine when you're in a decision maker meeting. So let me break this down. You're sitting down with a decision maker of a company. You sit down. Now there's, you know, obviously you've got to cover the benefit. You've got to build a relationship. There's some very key components that you've got to focus on. But in my opinion, there are two things that you need to determine while you're in that meeting. The first is, you need to determine, is this really a decision maker? Because there are some people that might act like a decision maker, but they're really not a decision maker. And there are some people that they might act like they're not a decision maker. Well, I'm going to need to get this approved. But in reality, they've got more authority than you think they do, or that they would let on for someone to believe. So some factors that I look at, okay? Number one, what is the size of the company? Because if you're meeting with a company with 175 employees and it's an HR director, then you know that may or may not be a decision maker, or there might be a couple other levels above them that are going to need to be involved in this. So I look at the size of the company, I look at the title of who I'm meeting with. Here's a big one. How long has that person worked there? Because I could be in front of an HR manager of a company of 500 employees, but that HR manager has been there for 25 years, and I don't really care what their title is or if they've got layers above them. They're going to be in a position, most likely, that they could set an enrollment. At least give me a tentative date for an enrollment. And so that's the kind of stuff I'm looking at is, trying to determine, is this really the decision maker? Because if so, then I'm going to shoot for that enrollment date. And if it's not a decision maker, then I'm going to shoot for something else. I'm not going to, listen, if you've got a person there that it doesn't matter what is happening, that the world could be ending all around them, they are not going to set an enrollment because they just don't have the authority to do it. You can ask till you're blue in the face, but you're going to do nothing but put pressure where pressure doesn't need to be put. And so I'm going to ask for something else, like I'm going to ask for maybe a meeting with their boss, or could I come in and do a sample presentation, bring lunch in and do a sample presentation for you and your boss and maybe a select few of your staff, maybe your HR department, for example, or, maybe your payroll department, or, do you have an employee committee that could share some input on whether these things would be interesting to them or not? Could I present to that committee? I'm going to look for other avenues. If it's not a decision maker, if they're not going to give me an enrollment, I'm going to look for other things that I could do other than, hey, give me a date to come in and talk to your people. So that's the first thing I need to determine is this really a decision maker? And really, what's the goal of my meeting here? What's my goal of this meeting here today? My end goal, obviously, is to present to the employees, but that's not always the goal of this particular meeting. Perfect example, we went to a company last week, and this was a guy on my team had set this up, great little company, and I say little. I don't know how many hundred employees they had, but we met with the HR manager, I believe. HR manager. I'm looking at his card right here. And his boss was planning on joining us in the meeting, but he was unable to. As I discussed with this gentleman and talked with him, it just became evident to me that he was not going to pull any trigger without his boss's approval. And so my goal of that meeting went from let's set an enrollment date to when can we come in and bring lunch for you and your boss? And can you help us set that up? Because I think it would be worthwhile for us to show you what a presentation to the employees actually looks like, and what better way to do that than to do it over lunch, and we'll bring it in. And you can gather, a few other staff if you'd like as well. So that became our goal. He was very open to that. And because I was asking for the right thing, he was able to be much more agreeable than if I had sat there trying to push him to do something that he didn't feel comfortable doing. I hope that makes sense. The second thing that I think you've got to determine in a decision maker meeting, you've got to determine what kind of enrollment you're going to shoot for. And this is one that can be a little bit different because there are different types of enrollments. Are you gonna get a mandatory meeting, or is it going to be a voluntary meeting, or is it going to be an open enrollment type of setup? If it's a mandatory meeting, what kind of mandatory meeting is it going to be? Is it one like a staff meeting that's already there? I call that a pre-existing mandatory meeting. In other words, something that is already on their employees' calendar, something that they're already in the habit of going to? Or is it going to be one of these non-pre-existing mandatory meetings? And I'm saying mandatory there with air quotes because it's not mandatory. and you see, a rookie there might go for that when a decision maker says, for you, we'll go ahead and schedule a special meeting to get our employees together to listen to you. And it's not that that's terrible, but I would rather piggyback on their 8 o'clock Wednesday staff meeting that they have every week where their employees are already planning on being there. Because they're going to show up, and that's the key to success in this in doing enrollments is getting access to the employees. So what kind of a meeting is it going to be? And I'm going to ask questions kind of throughout my decision maker meeting, that presentation and that conversation. I'm going to be asking questions to try to determine what I'm really going for here. And if it's going to be, you know, if they've got a staff meeting, could I get 10 minutes of that staff meeting? And if not, you know, maybe I'll bring in lunch. We'll do like a lunch and learn type of thing. But you know, that's going to be more of a voluntary setup. But that's going to really determine how I close. And speaking of close, let me maybe share one last point with you, because I think we're running out of time here. But let me just share one last point with you, and that is, I think that you need to be strong and confident. And Wilburn Smith used to say all the time, don't be afraid to ask for the sale. So let me share with you my closing question, my favorite question to close, and it's a real simple one, but it works. And that is, do you mind if I look at my calendar? To me, it's all about getting into their calendar. If I can get them focused on their calendar instead of focused on should they do this or should they not, or are they interested or are they not, or would their employees like it or would they not, if I can just get them focused on their calendar, then all we have to do is just schedule. So I like asking, do you mind if I look at my calendar? And you know what? I don't know that I've ever asked that and had someone say, actually, I do mind. They always say, no, that's fine. And I take out my calendar and I start looking at dates. So that's my kind of closing question. Do you mind if I look at my calendar? Now, I preface it, if it's going to be a voluntary meeting, I preface it by, you know, if we've talked about a lunch and learn, for example, I'll mention, you know, I know we talked about a lunch and learn. Is there a day of the week that would work well to do that? Maybe like a Wednesday or a Friday. I'm going to start there with a little softer question, like, is there a day of the week? That's different than saying, is there a day? Is there a day of the week that would work well for that? Maybe like a Wednesday or a Friday, to give them a chance to answer. And most of them will, you know, well, Fridays work well, or Fridays our people are out, so really, you know, midweek works better, Tuesday. And then guess what I say next? Do you mind if I look at my calendar? They say, sure. I take out my calendar. Say, hey, well, look, this Tuesday would be tough. Next Tuesday might work, but what about the Tuesday after that? And now we're into scheduling. And I've always tried to get it to scheduling because, again, if I can get them into their calendar, it takes the emphasis off of a lot of other things that might be going through their head, and we're just getting into the calendar. And I would rather, even if they say, you know, I don't know that, well, you know, before we schedule, let me talk to, I might even say, that's okay. Do you mind if I give you a couple dates that I know I'm available, or look at some dates that I'm available? Because I would rather walk out with a tentative date than no date at all. It just makes it a lot easier follow-up for me. A lot easier for me to call them and say, hey, I know that we had discussed possibly doing our lunch and learn on the 16th. Does that still work for you? Versus calling him and saying, hey, did you talk to your boss? What do you think? Can we come in? So I like having even a tentative date better than nothing at all. Mr. Moore, I know I've gone over our 30 minutes here, and I apologize for that. I hope that might be helpful for some folks out there that are, you know, in these meetings and meeting with decision makers, and I'd love to you know, turn the call back over to you. If there's anything else that you want me to cover, anything, let me know. But I just want you to know it's been an absolute honor to share this time with you guys, and we think the world of you and your family, and really do look forward to seeing you next week in Oklahoma City.
Well, Mike, as usual, you hit it out of the ballpark. There's no doubt about that. You just did an awesome job training. I appreciate you sharing the same thing with our team that you share with your team, and that's because I think we think a lot alike. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you and Mark and your mother. I remember your mother from way back. And, you know, she's always been a class act, as you guys have. And just to take your time out to spend with our team tonight means a whole lot. So, yes, I'm looking forward to seeing you next week. Did I do
all right? Thank you, sir.
Okay, Mike. Thank you very much for being our special guest speaker on the call tonight. And, ladies and gentlemen, we have another call in about 25 minutes. on a regular More Success Team call. Tonight's guest speaker on that call will be the MVP of Arizona, Mr. Harold Branch. So I want to make sure that to plug your teams into that call. He always does an outstanding job for us. And just like Mr. Moore always said, and we always keep him in our hearts, even though he's gone, he's always there. But he always said, keep God first, family second, and Legal Shield. We'll hear you on the next call. Good night, everyone.